Regina!
You're listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show.
Welcome back once again, Monster Sci-Fi fans. I do appreciate you listening once more to my podcast. In fact, this is going to be actually a special podcast, not the Battlestar Galactica podcast that I promised everyone, just because my co-host, Mr. Gene, actually had his father in surgery today, and he still has not seen any of the Battlestar Galactica episodes, so I'm just going to kind of give him extra time just because of that. But I've been wanting to do a Godzilla podcast for quite some time, and this is something that I plan right from the very beginning of when I started doing podcasting. However, my laptop was stolen at that time, so all my information, all my podcast stuff went out the door, so to speak. So, zoom now to the present. Lucky for me, since I started Twittering, I found a great website called the Sci-Fi Blog, and I've been in contact just by email with the chief editor-in-chief, Robert King, and I want to introduce you fans to Mr. King. So, Mr. King, please introduce yourself to our fans.
Hi, I'm Robert Ring, actually. And
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. No problem. Everybody that I talk to either says King or Green. So, you know, you'd be in the
minority. Or you could be King. Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that. I am so sorry.
That's all right. Anyway, yes, I am the founder and editor-in-chief of the Sci-Fi Block. A pretty young website. We just started going about late last year, and we're picking up fairly fast, I think. We got some new things planned later on in the year. Anyway, for the month of May, we decided to do a Godzilla event. If you've read this, if you're a regular visitor to the Sci-Fi Block, you know that every month at the beginning of each month, we spend the first 2 weeks on a top 10 countdown. Mm-hmm. So each weekday, the first 10 weekdays of the month, we count down the top 10 blank. So this month, what we're doing, we're starting off with the top 10 Godzilla films, but then after that, we're going to post one full review of a Godzilla film each day for the rest of the month, each weekday for the rest of the month. So you get a top 10 countdown list, then 10 Godzilla reviews. Now, to take it even a step further, we're teaming up during the first week of Godzilla reviews with ClassicHorror.com, and each site is going to offer their own take on the same movie. So I'll go ahead and give away the first film. The first one we're going to review is Godzilla 2000. So on the beginning of the third week of May, you'll get one review at the Sci-Fi Block of Godzilla 2000, as well as another review at Classic Horror of Godzilla 2000. And that's just for that first week there. And then for the final week, we're gonna take it off just by ourselves, and Classic Horror is gonna go do their own thing for a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, which is perfect, because what we're planning to do on this podcast is we're going to break this up into three separate podcasts talking about the different periods of all the Godzilla films, just kind of like a quick summary, some highlights, some tidbits that we've kind of come across that would be kind of cool for me as a fan who's watched all these films to kind of like, I did not know that kind of moment, and just like kind of reacquaint ourselves to the Godzilla, the big G, the famous monster of all times that we've loved for all these years, and just want to revisit that once more. And I'm grateful that Robert has the same kind of passion I have for the big guy. So let's begin with the origin, so to speak, with Godzilla. Everything that I'm looking up, or at least discussing, at least, Robert and I have information that has been supported by IMDb.com, so it's a trusted site, and then there is some information from Wikipedia, but I did verify, so we're okay with that. Let's start off with the Godzilla name itself. The first thing that came up that is, again, we're going to probably muck up the names because we don't speak any Japanese, but it's going to be that it was a combination of two Japanese words, one being Gorilla, which is for Gorilla and Kujuria, which stands for whale, which they put it together and just seems like a gorilla whale, which I still don't see the image, but this is what Gojira, and again, sorry for the mispronunciation, but that's what it's the combination of these two different words, meaning gorilla and whale. So, okay, I will go with that. But there was something else that I found that was kind of interesting that, and this has not been really verified, but there was someone, or a stagehand on Toho Studios, who was kind of like this big hulking guy that they thought this was named after. And I don't know if that's the case, but that's one little thing I just want to throw out there. So if anyone knows any more information, I would love to hear from you about this.
I've read the same thing. I've read the rumor. And what I've heard is that nobody's really been able to find pictures of this guy.
Okay.
Which, you know, you would think would be around somewhere because, you know, you can, you know, because of all the picture documentation they have of the movie. So,
yeah.
You know, that tends to kind of discredit it a little bit, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. So, with that, we have 28 films of Godzilla that were all produced by Toho Company. The only thing that I will say right off the bat, and as much as I love Godzilla, it's the U.S. version that I don't even want to say it, even acknowledge it, but I still own it. The movie with Matthew Broderick that was here in the States. I was all hyped up for the promotion that, you know, Godzilla is this tall or is twice as big as his bus promotion. I mean, half my Godzilla Taco Bell cup holder, and I was all set for that. And then they did that kind of movie to us, and I just almost don't want to acknowledge that, and I don't think we're going to in this podcast for a number of reasons. I don't know. How do you feel about that U.S. version of Godzilla?
It's actually been a while since I've seen that one. I remember seeing it in the theater, and I was pretty young at the time. And all I remember was that, first of all, it had Ferris Bueller in it, which kind of a little bit. And also, I just remember, even being that young and seeing it, I left and I was just like, that was a bad movie. That's all there is to say about it, really.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you want to see the monster movie terrorize people, stomp on cities. You really can't go wrong with, but apparently they did.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's just put that bad image out of our head. Let's go all the way back to 1954 with the original Godzilla. And of course, we all know the origin of how Godzilla came to be. It was because of nuclear testing and created this dinosaur-like creature. And I remember seeing this, again, back in my ages, many moons ago, on TV. And I remember Raymond Burr, those who even remember him or know of him, Ironside, was in the movie itself. And that was, I think, after the original release, in which they cut him into the movie and re-edited the movie a bit. I was just like, really cool. This is a good monster movie. Even though it was black and white, I loved it. What do you feel?
Well, you know, the original, if you're going to talk just about the Raymond Burr version for now, I agree. Mm-hmm. It is actually it's not a bad movie. It gets a lot of flack. But when you go back and watch it, first of all, the editing, you know, they put in Raymond Burr was an American insertion into the original movie.
Right.
And you really can't catch that unless you're looking for it. It does not come across as intercut little things that don't feel right. It feels perfectly smooth. It feels natural. It's not as good a version of the movie, but you know, it's still you have to say it's, I have to say it's still a pretty solid monster movie as a monster movie.
Yeah, considering it, you know, what it spun from that point on, I think it's well established that this movie, so to speak, you know, had a lot of bite to it that it had a great impact, and you know, it has long-lasting effects even through our icons of pop culture. You know, it's long-lasting. I mean, we're still talking about this after over 50 years. So obviously, you know, it's made an impact on a lot of people that I've seen it, you know, in growing up, so to speak. The other thing that I wanted to also note here was that the DVD, supposedly, and I have to verify this, but it has both versions, the Japanese version as well as the one with the Raymond Burr version.
That's the new DVD does. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right.
Cool. All right. So now we got the first one out of the way. We're going to go into a period that we're at least referred to as a Showa period. And in this period, we have about 15 films, which is going to be almost half about overall movies. A lot of it I did not get to see until much later on TV and a couple in actually in the theaters. I'm not sure about you, Robert. Have you saw all of them pretty much all on DVD? Or
I have seen all of them. Yeah, all on DVD.
Okay. Well, let's begin with, if you want to take the next one.
Yeah, let me go back to, if you don't mind, to the original.
Sure, sure.
Just for one second.
Sure.
You know, I talked about the American cut of it. I want to say that the Japanese cut, now this, a lot of the listeners will probably disagree with me anyway, so it's almost not worth saying. But for those who look at Godzilla movies and think, okay, you know, giant lizard monster, the original Godzilla, the Japanese cut, really is a great movie, and that's kind of, you know, I just kind of wanted to lay that out there. It's got a perfect rhythm to it. It's perfectly told, perfectly paced, and it really is a dark movie as well, which in the American cut gets lightened up significantly.
Yeah.
But if you're familiar with Godzilla only based on the American cut of the first movie or, you know, any number of the sequels, then you're really missing out, because the first movie is much different than anything that came after it, the original Japanese one. So,
cool.
You know, I would just say that, you know, that's just my 2 cents for the original Gojira. It's a really a great one. I would call it one of Japan's best sci-fi movies ever. So,
cool.
So you know, for anyone out there who has not seen it, definitely go watch it as soon as you're done listening to this podcast.
Cool. Good. All right. So let's pick up the first movie in the Showa series.
All right, let's do it. So Godzilla Raids Again.
Yes.
This is actually a pretty competent sequel, I think. And this is a review that we actually already have up on the site. And what I think about this film is, first of all, it does a pretty good job of capturing the feel of the original, which is very quickly lost.
Yeah.
You know, in subsequent sequels, it's also the last black and white one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, no, you're correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And the first introduction of a giant monster other than Godzilla, and that of course is Anguirus, or Angulus, however you the Japanese tend to pronounce that Angulus, but if you're doing it the English way, we'll go with Anguirus. So, but in this movie, the great thing about it was Anguirus comes in, this other giant monster, and they're battling, and it's not like a fun battle. It's actually a pretty, maybe not terrifying battle, but it's a pretty brutal battle. And it's not focused on, the scenes of this are not focused on the move, you know, the different moves in the battle, or their different attacks or whatever. It's just the fact that these two giant things are attacking each other and destroying the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this one gets an A+ for me.
Yeah, definitely. I just think that, you know, if you have the impact of one monster terrorizing or destroying a city, two, having it a fight to the death, just basically, that is just amazing, just because, you know, we've never seen anything like that to date. I mean, yeah, we've seen, you know, the classic monsters fighting each other much later on, and we've gotten used to that, but I really can't think of another monster, at least even outside of the Godzilla genre. If there were ever two other monsters fighting each other with so much screen time, everything else, like from the Beast from the 20,000 Fathoms, there was just one creature, or
blanking on some other creatures in the movies, like Ray Harryhausen. But there's always been just the one creature attacking the city and never really two monsters coming at it. So,
right,
yeah. The other little tidbit that I just found also was just that George Takei also provided one of the voices. I'm not sure who he is in the movie, but supposedly, again, IMDb supposedly said that he does was one of the voice actors for the film. And then he also performed voice work for the movie Rodan, which we're not going to be talking about this, but just want to throw it out there that, you know, here's, you know, Mr. Sulu of Star Trek fame, and the movie's coming out in another week and a half. You know, he has a connection to Godzilla, so that's very cool.
I didn't know that.
All right, so let's move on to King Kong versus Godzilla. Now, this one, of course, everyone knows about King Kong. This was a classic rival film, and in my opinion, the way I see it now, it's as if you were looking at comic books, it's like Marvel versus DC or Mag versus PC, that kind of battle royale of, you know, two classic monster movies. As much as I loved it, there were just some things that you just should not do, and making King Kong the way he looked was pretty terrible. The costume was obnoxiously bad. I mean, from his mouth to his matted hair, it really bothered me. It just looked like someone like had a nice fluffy animal and just stuck it in the dryer and then left it on for like days, and then this is what you get. I didn't care for that. Did you ever place bets as to who would win in the outcome for the first time? You say, I'm going to go with this person, or I should go with this monster. Did you ever do that?
That never occurred to me. No, I have not.
Well, unfortunately, we all know how. Well, I don't know if I should say this because that'll be kind of a spoiler alert here if I have to mention, you know, how it all turns out. But pretty much, you know, even though we see King Kong leaving the fight, you know, Godzilla doesn't come up. Now, Robert, I heard this, and maybe I'm wrong on this, that there is a U.S. version or a Japanese version in which it's not King Kong that's swimming away, but actually Godzilla.
I've heard the rumor. I've done some light research into that, and it looks like that is not actually true.
Okay.
From what I've been able to dig up.
Okay. But the other thing too is that this was, even though it was the third movie, this is the first color Godzilla film, and it came out in 1962. And I think we're done. What up? Any ideas? Any comments you had about this movie?
Not a whole lot. Basically, just to second your comment, that it is such an ugly costume for King Kong. It is definitely one of the worst costumes, you know, just one of the pure ugliest costumes in giant monster history. One thing that I did like about this movie, it's kind of silly. You know, the movie is, it's not a great movie, but it's a fun movie. But I definitely have to give it credit for actually having a solid winner in the King Kong versus Godzilla battle. This could have definitely turned into something where they kind of like both beat each other up and like something happens and they stop fighting, or, you know, they both kind of end up walking away, but it was,
yeah, exactly. It's a draw.
Yeah,
exactly.
One monster definitely lost and the other one then walked away.
Right. Most definitely. The other thing too, we also see King Kong fight like this giant squid, which was kind of interesting because we never really see much of him fighting anyway. But, you know, at least, you know, he can take it as much as he gives it. So if anything else, it's good, cheesy fun. So we'll just leave it at that. Okay. So, Rob, let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Go ahead and take that.
Mothra vs. Godzilla. You know, there are a lot of Mothra lovers out there. I'm not really one of them. Mothra is definitely an interesting monster. You know, a giant moth. There you go. Right off the bat, without seeing a picture of it, just hearing giant moth, you already know whether this is going to be something that you're going to say, all right, that's pretty cool, a giant moth, or, you know, a giant moth, really, seriously? I can see the appeal of a giant moth because it is it's definitely a new concept. When you think giant killer monster, you're generally thinking things like dinosaurs or gorillas, and then you get a moth. So I give it credit for that. As far as the movie goes, I like how they're starting to try to take a little bit of an environmental message with it, even if it's not that successful.
Right.
It's the first meeting between Mothra and Godzilla. Mm-hmm. It's worth seeing for that. Not one of my favorites though.
Yeah. Now the other thing that I remember about this, and correct me if I'm wrong, this movie actually was called Godzilla versus It, or The Thing.
The Thing. Yeah.
Okay. In which I remember seeing this in a magazine that they did not show the picture of what that thing was. And it's like due to theater owners, whatever, it's so graphically horrendous, like you're not allowed to see this. And I'm like, what kind of thing is this that is going to be so hideous, worse than Godzilla? And then when you see it, I'm like, a moth. You're kidding me. That's all it was, a moth. Oh!
Yeah, I think that was a bad tactic for a monster like this. You know, if you have a really scary monster, then it can pay off to keep it hidden behind a door and then pop out, and kind of build it up a little bit. But when you have a giant moth, that just doesn't work because your expectations obviously go way too high. And then when you see moth, you're probably just about to laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's fine for what it is. Again, it's maybe a notch below, in my opinion, King Kong versus Godzilla as far as, liking it, but... this is the beginning of a franchise, and not all of them are going to be winners, as we will find out throughout the whole process of these podcasts. So, other than that, the other thing that I want to mention that is they try to do Toho Studios try to do two Godzillas in 1 year, and that's probably the only time they try to do this. And it's with this movie and the next one, which is the Ghidorah, or Ghidorah, depending on potato or potato, the three-headed monster. Now, this is a creature that I am in love with. I'm not sure if you are, Robert, but I love Ghidorah. It's incredible. I love the three-headed wing beast, and I love how it shoots out these kind of weird laser things, and it's always scattered. And that's three times more than what Godzilla could do at one time. So, Battle Royale, this is like, you've met your match. This is someone who is on par with Godzilla to the death.
Yeah, well, there's no denying that King Ghidorah is definitely an awesome monster. I also like the electricity, laser, whatever it is that he shoots out of his three heads.
Mm-hmm.
The movie I thought was okay. I love the monster, really cool. There are some really cool scenes of him, flying over cities and destroying mm-hmm. everything with his lightning. What I didn't like about it was it builds up. It spends so much time building up to this final battle, and then the final battle lasts like 4 or 5 minutes, and then that's pretty much it.
Right.
So, it's an awesome monster. A lot of some really cool scenes, but not a big payoff for me on this one.
Right. And this is the first team up, so to speak, because Mothra comes into play as well as Rodan.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting in itself. But, yeah, I can understand that. And that's the other thing, too, that I've noticed as the later series began, that you would have this story that kind of after a while wanes a bit, and all you were interested in is when are the monsters going to come out? When are they going to fight? And then you wait an hour and a half, and then you get, 5 minutes of screen time, and, that's it?
Yeah, you're right. it's a cool thing, and I like the point you bring up about the first team-up. You're right, that is the first team-up between them. One other thing that I want to point out, this is kind of a strange thing that I noticed about this movie, but the monsters in this film, particularly Godzilla, King Ghidorah, and Rodan, they have very bad control over their neck muscles. If you go back to watch, there are so many scenes. There will be a scene of Godzilla and Rodan you know, in a showdown, for instance, and it'll show one, and it'll be wave, you know, bobbing his head erratically. Then it'll shoot to the other, and he'll be bobbing his head erratically. Then Rose will attack. Well, he will attack Godzilla by bobbing his head erratically, and then you see Ghidorah flying over the city. All three of his heads are bobbing erratically.
it's really.
I don't know what happened there, but I kind of like it. But it's strange.
Loss of bodily control there.
There you go. Mothra gets out of that one because he doesn't have a neck.
Yeah, exactly. Except that he can kind of perch himself upright somewhat.
Right.
And shoot the little silk threads.
Yeah, the silk stuff.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's annoying. It's not a defense or a really offensive weapon. It's just an annoying weapon. So.
And it always depends on whatever monster he's attacking, standing perfectly still until he's totally covered in the stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. That only works in that aspect, exactly. So, all right. So let's move on to the next movie in Godzilla.
What do we have? Invasion of Astro Monster. This one is pretty fun. I actually have some notes here. I'm going back and looking at them because you get 28, 29 Godzilla movies. They tend to kind of blend together in your head.
Yes, they do.
The cool thing about this one is it was the first. You know, we're talking about the first movie. Do this, do that, do this, do that. So far, we've done that for just about every one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie also takes the first. Is the first Godzilla movie to have some action in space.
Yes.
Now, if I'm correct, is this the one where Rodan and King Ghidorah and Godzilla fight on an alien planet?
Correct.
Okay.
And they were basically aliens come down saying, you know what, we're going to help you solve this problem with the monsters. We're going to control them. We're going to take them to our planet. They're going to fight off this monster. Lo and behold, the aliens had the alternative plan to use the monsters against us. How to serve man, that kind of situation. You know, we fell for it, and this is what happened.
Fun movie. Cool little space fight scene. Not a whole lot more to it than that, but still worth checking out.
Yeah, and again, it's probably the better of, if you're going to pick the two between the Ghidorah, the three-headed monster, and this one, Invasion of Astro Monster. I say Astro Monster, this one, is a better move.
I would agree with that as well, and I have some friends who would definitely who disagree with me strongly on that, but I agree with you.
Okay. All right, the other one, the next one. This is now the year before I was born. This was 1966, Godzilla versus the Sea Monster. Now, this one, actually remembering it and then reviewing it, is kind of like, you got to be kidding me. This is it? He fights a freaking lobster. There's only so much that he can do in the water anyway, but he's fighting not a sea monster, it's just a big-ass lobster. So I didn't really care for this. As much as, you know, I love seeing Godzilla in the hero role, this was, again, one of those times that, like you said before, you wait through the movie to see the action, and what little you got of it, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, I agree. Not a whole lot more to say about it other than that. Just that, you know, a giant lobster, if he fought him a lot, that would be kind of cool. But, you know, the giant monster comes up, they fight for him for a little bit, and there's, you know, I think they fight like twice. And that's pretty much like, that's almost literally all there is to the movie.
Yeah, and I was really, really disappointed with that. But again, in the research of this podcast, I came across this that I had no idea. This was supposed to be written for King Kong to appear again. And this is going to be, the original title for it was going to be Operation Robinson Crusoe. I have no idea how that came to be or why that even remotely close, other than just the island that most of the story takes place on. I just think that's just... You know what? It could have been a better movie than The Sea Monster, in my opinion.
Could have been.
All right, so let's move on to the next Godzilla film. So take that next one, Robert.
All right, we got Son of Godzilla. This one is one of the is definitely one of the sillier entries in the Godzilla movies. Even out of what we've covered so far, including giant lobsters and monster fights in space, when you get to Super Godzilla, this is the silliest one yet. And a lot of people really hate this movie for that reason, but I actually kind of like it. It's the first time we get to see, obviously, Godzilla's son, Minya.
Yeah.
And Minya is like a little baby Godzilla, and he's so cute and silly that it's just fun to watch him go around and try to learn how to breathe radiation and getting all sorts of little entanglements that Godzilla has to come save him from. This one is not scary at all, but it's not really that brutal. It doesn't have that good of fights, but for me it's a pretty funny little movie.
Yeah. Now the other thing that really confused me. Okay, here's Godzilla, this lone creature. There's no one else of his kind around. Now has a son.
Uh huh.
So now a question: my sexuality, was Godzilla a boy or a girl? And I think right now, as far as I can find, is that he was always a male. So where was Mrs. Godzilla around in all this?
I would say, first of all, that's just another one of the funny things about it. They don't even make any attempt whatsoever to explain how Minya came into existence. But also, you know, here's my theory. Godzilla produces asexually. There you have it.
And it makes perfect sense if you look back at Jurassic Park and how, depending on the species of the dinosaurs, they would they change their sex in order to mate, or in this case, become asexual and produce his own offspring. So I thought that makes sense now, but back then I'm like, I didn't know about a whole lot of sex, but I know that Godzilla needs to have a partner somewhere, so.
Right.
All right, so now, 1968, we move on to Destroy All Monsters. Now, the plot of this really sounds similar to what we saw already with the Astro Monster, that aliens control the Earth monsters, using them to destroy the human race. Okay? But what I loved about this is that this was the big bang for your buck. You saw monsters you've never seen before really go at it. And I was just like, this is really top-notch, kick-ass monster movie. You know, forget the fact that you saw two. Now you got like trillions and bajillions. Everyone's going out there. It's going nuts. And I was excited about this. I mean, you saw this one creature. I forgot its name. Maybe you may know. It's like a very skinny creature, but it was twirling itself around like a train rail or like an elevated line.
That is Manda.
Okay, thank you. And I was just like, oh, this is awesome. Better than anything that I've seen to date, as far as action-wise, you know, kicking it up a notch. That was it. That was, in my book, at that time, really, really cool.
This is one where I think we're going to have to differ a little bit on.
Okay.
I really do not like Destroy All Monsters. I do like the fact that it has, let's see, I've got my notes here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 monsters. Including one, which I don't know if you've ever noticed watching this, but when you get that scene kind of, I guess, about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the movie where all the monsters come out and they're getting ready to all fight, there's one monster who kind of, like, floats in, and I've never seen him in any other Godzilla movie before, and you only see him float in, and then he doesn't make an appearance after that. So I don't know what monster that is. Go back and look at that if you've never noticed. But there is one monster that does that.
Okay.
But I'm digressing. This, for me, Destroy All Monsters, cool premise, lots of cool monsters fighting. It just kind of, maybe it was the story about the spacemen flying around trying to find whatever it is that they were looking for. I don't even really remember. This one was a little boring to me. It had some cool monster stuff. It had, as you mentioned, Manda wrapping himself around that rail, which I thought was really cool. That came close to the beginning of the film. And then it kind of trailed off for me, a lot of nonsense. And then you get to a pretty big monster fight at the end. But it was one of those cases where I had to wait too long for it, and it didn't last long enough.
Yeah, and it never does. All right, so let's move on to All monsters attack. Destroy all of them, but that they all attack. How could they do that? Had that been a different idea, it probably would have been... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. This is supposed to be your entry on this, right?
Oh, is this me? Okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine.
No, it's my fault. All right,
So all monsters attack. This one is actually really similar to Son of Godzilla, not only because it has Mina in it again, but it also is another one of the sillier entries. It focuses on some little kid. I don't remember his name, but he gets bullied a lot. And he basically, no giant monsters actually exist in this movie. They're all in his little daydreams.
Yeah.
And he has these little daydreams where he goes and hangs out with Mina and helps him beat up the bully monsters and stuff. And then he goes back into the real world, and that kind of helps him deal with his own bullies. It's pretty funny stuff, especially the little opening song at the beginning, but I've never been able to really figure out if it's that character singing it or if it's just some other little kid singing the song. Really strange, really strange opening lyrics there. But again, that adds the fun for me. I tend to like the sillier, stupider Godzilla movies just for the fact that, you know, they're more entertaining than some of the ones who really try to actually be that really try to actually be scary.
Yeah, I mean, I give it points for coming up with something that's, I guess, different from everything else in the past. I mean, we've seen, you know, aliens come from other planets, try to destroy us, or the creatures go amok. But this case, it's a story told by a kid, or at least the story is about this kid. For me, I really didn't care for this kid. That was probably the most annoying thing about this whole movie. So I was like, until he starts daydreaming about Monster Island, he's back there. That's when my, you know, attention went back up. But I could have just easily forget this movie altogether and not miss it one beat. So, unfortunately, that's what happens. But redeeming itself in my eyes, at least, again, this is my opinion. The next movie is Godzilla vs. Ghidorah, or referred to as, when I saw it, the Smog Monster, back in 1971. Now, this definitely has a big environmental message about pollution and so forth, in which this creature was basically made from it. Pretty weird stuff that was going on as far as, you know, how this creature could actually get around, and it mutated, and pretty interesting stuff as far as fight scenes, and it seems to like there was some kind of drug-induced hippie influence in this movie, as far as I take it, but it was still one of my favorite ones, only because there was this one scene, the one and only time that Godzilla flew backwards using his atomic firepower, and holding Ghidorah and going backwards. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go with it. What are your thoughts on Godzilla versus Ghidorah?
I like this one. It's definitely one of the weirdest Godzilla movies. You know, there are a few little animated segments that just kind of pop out of nowhere.
Yeah,
Ghidorah is a really cool monster. I don't know really why you would call him. I know the American title is Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster, or it was at one point, the English title. That doesn't really make sense because he's not actually a smog monster. He's more like a sludge monster.
Exactly.
Either way, cool monster, cool movie. I like it.
Yeah. And again, it was a really cool message because it's dealing with the environment. And even back then, you know, they kind of had a forward-thinking mentality there.
Right.
All right, so let's do the next one.
All right, Godzilla vs. Gigan. This is another one that I like. Gigan is one of those monsters. He looks pretty cool. He gets made fun of a lot because he tends to run away from battles, and he has this strange. he has a torso saw is what I'll call it. It's like a big saw that comes out of his torso. It doesn't really make any sense. But, you know, it's a cool, funny little thing. He doesn't have, you know, hands either. He just has giant blades for forearms.
Yeah, so it makes, you know, him wearing a parka and trying to zip it up kind of really impossible with those little hook hands, you know.
Basically,
but, yeah.
Impossible, yes. I like this one.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of liked it. It was okay, but it was just more of the moment that I was like, oh, my God, we've never seen that before. And this is like one of those scenes in which when Godzilla gets cut, you actually see blood. And I think up to that point, he would always been injured, but you never see any kind of spurting of blood or really obvious injury in that respect.
Yeah.
So, but I think Gigan did a better, I don't want to say better performance, but he's better when he teams up with someone else, not by himself.
I agree on that. And another thing about this movie that kind of lets me down is that you get a cool little fight between Godzilla and Gigan, and Anguirus comes in the mix,
mm-hmm.
too, if my memory is serving me correctly. But
right.
And it's a pretty cool fight, but it takes place essentially in the middle of an open field. So you don't get, you know, buildings crumbling all over the place while two giant monsters are fighting. It's just strictly two, well, three giant monsters fight. So I think,
yeah.
you know, it's a pretty cool movie. It would have been a lot better if the battle had actually taken place in a city.
Yeah, exactly.
For my money.
Exactly. Okay. Now, the other thing, as I mentioned, Gigan does make another appearance in the next one, Godzilla versus Megalon. This one came out in 1973, and yes, I did see this in the theater. So I was fortunate enough to see this on the big screen back then, and I was in love with this movie. Not only do we see Megalon, who is this weird, cool beetle creature, Gigan's there, but Jet Jaguar. I don't know anyone who does not like Jet Jaguar, but he was awesome fighting alongside Godzilla. One of my favorite movies of all time is that one, just because of Jet Jaguar and the four battle royale, so to speak. And plus, being a Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan, they also made fun of that movie, which I also loved. On top of that, so it was like two trees in one. But to me, this was it. This was, you know, by far one of my fondest memories and one of my best memories of this movie, of this whole franchise, is seeing these four guys go at it. So what's your thoughts on that?
I love this one too. Godzilla vs. Megalon. It's got a bad reputation. I think that's mainly because it was featured on Mystery Science Theater 3000. but you know, it's kind of like making fun of a clown. You know, it's here and it's really cool. It's got a lot of silly, funny little like moves, like little attack moves that they do. Like when
mm-hmm.
Godzilla gets a running start and like slides on his tail backwards to
yes.
kick Megalon, as well as the fact that Megalon does not walk, he hops everywhere he goes. So
yeah,
you know, definitely entertaining. I really like Godzilla vs. Megalon.
Yeah, there's nothing more than, I mean, and I only bought the actual Nintendo GameCube version just so I can have them fight each other. Had I known that I had needed the Xbox to play Jet Jaguar, I would have never bought the GameCube version. So I'm really pissed about that version. So, but nonetheless, it's still, again, one of my favorites that I highly recommend. All right,
if you can get your hands on it, it's not available in the States right now, but if you can get your hands on it, go for it. This is a good one.
Yeah, oh, cool. All right, let's go to the next one.
All right, we have Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla. This is tied for, as far as the sequels go, okay, first of all, let me just say it out there. The original Godzilla is my favorite one of all of them. Well,
mm-hmm.
So there's that. As far as sequels go, however, Godzilla sequels, Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla is tied for first place, I'll save it for later on in the podcast. I'll let you know which
okay.
I tied up with. But Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla tied in first place for my all-time favorite Godzilla sequel. I just love this movie. It's got, you know, just look at the title. It's got Mechagodzilla in it. Even if you don't know what Mechagodzilla looks like or who Mechagodzilla is, you know
yeah.
he's going to be awesome, basically. And
yeah.
and he is. A giant robot version of Godzilla who shoots rainbow-colored lasers or something, or something like that, and he can fly around, and he can spin himself around really fast. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
And you get the first attack where he's attacking Anguirus, And that's actually one of those more brutal moments in a Godzilla movie that you don't see too often. He actually breaks the bottom of Anguirus' jaw essentially off, kind of like King Kong does with the original King Kong movie. And Anguirus is bleeding, and he just kind of has, you know, there's nothing he can do at that point. He just kind of has to retreat. But this is really a fun movie. One of my favorite moments is when Godzilla is fighting Mechagodzilla. Mechagodzilla is trying to fly away, and all of a sudden one of the characters says, "Godzilla is magnetizing himself." Godzilla somehow gets this Deus Ex Machina ability to make himself magnetic in order to pull Mechagodzilla back towards him so he can finish beating the crap out of him. By that point, you know, they've got me. That's it.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the one with also King Caesar.
King Caesar, yes, yes. I'm glad you mentioned him. I forgot to bring him up. Another awesome monster. He was not in many Godzilla movies, but he's definitely one of the cooler, just going by pure looks, one of the cooler monsters of the franchise.
Yeah, and the only thing I remember him, I mean, he looked like a big puppy dog, basically. But it was weird how they summoned him. And I'm like, in the movie, all the section is going to start, and then this girl has to, like, sing a song. I'm like, kind of speed it up. You have to sing the whole song in order to wake him up? Like,
right.
My God, this is like, you don't want to do that considering that you're the key to winning, you know, the fight here is to get the other monster to wake up, and you have to sing a whole song. You think a phrase or, you know, a couple of melody little tunes will be enough. Oh, my God. I'm like, I'm looking at my watch, even back then, like, this song is really too long. Just cut it. Yeah. Let them wake up. But, again, King Caesar was one of my favorites in there, and out of surprise, and, you know, having him join on Godzilla's side, it's like, well, Godzilla was getting his ass kicked, so to speak. I mean, literally, it looked pretty bad, considering how much weaponry that Mechagodzilla had. But, I wish King Caesar made another appearance, but unfortunately, I think that's the only one he has, and I don't think
let me correct you on that. There is one more appearance that he makes, and I'll bring it up later because it is actually somewhat by coincidence in my other movie tie for first as far as the sequels go.
Okay, cool.
We'll talk about that when it comes up.
All right. Now, next one is going to be the Terra of Mechagodzilla. So you thought he was gone, he is back once more. And basically, these aliens, which are a bunch of gorillas, is it the gorilla ones I'm trying to think of? I'm thinking of someone else. It was a gorilla race, and I don't think that's them, but I know they were attached to Mechagodzilla.
They are.
They are, okay. So they rebuild it from all the scraps that floated on the ocean and the ground and so forth and make it, put them whole again, like the Tin Man, with the oil can and so forth. And then we see a new creature called Titanosaurus, which, you know, one of the things that I've grown to love about all these movies is that no matter how well the weaponry that the military may have, it doesn't affect any of the monsters to begin with, but they're able to devise some kind of weapon to attack Titanosaurus in this film, which was kind of like, I'd rather see, you know, Godzilla kind of take on Titanosaurus and just kick the crap out of him or whatever, but, you know, the humans are helping Godzilla, and I was like, that was, to me, a letdown in that respect. I mean, it was good to see, you know, Mechagodzilla and all that, but it wasn't really like, you know, two-on-one. It was just one-on-one, and then he was just getting his, you know, I don't know, getting his ass kicked by humans. I didn't like it.
Yeah, you know, but I don't have a whole lot more to add. Terror of Mechagodzilla, it gets points just for having Mechagodzilla in it. Other than that, Titanosaurus is kind of cool, but, you know, there's not a whole lot to this movie.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Oh, but, and maybe this might have been a cool thing they did on IMDb.com and mentioned that Titanosaurus was supposed to be originally made out of two smaller creatures called Titans, and then they were fused together to be one larger creature. So, course, we don't see that, but I think that was actually could have been a better idea than we've seen this kind of... I mean, the only effect or the only strength he had was his fanning tail thing that he would fan back and forth and make this bluster of wind, and that's all he can do. So I didn't find him to be much of a threat at all. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we went through the whole Showa era for Godzilla. So this is going to be actually our end point for this podcast. And I promise you, we're all going to do two more podcasts. So I want to thank Robert. Thank you very much for being part of the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast and helping me celebrate Godzilla in all its glory. So I'm going to record more with you. So Monster Sci-Fi fans, sit tight. We're going to be right back in just a few.